Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So yesterday we spoke about a new edition of Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, an edited edition that reflects a dilemma spoken to us earlier on the program by takeaway listener Laura Himmelstein.
Well, I tried to start reading the book to my kids as a family read when they were quite young, which was probably kindergarten, first grade, and that was a mistake. I found myself leaving out the N-word and realized I was censoring the book. And I don't think that a book should be read with censoring like that.
Leaving out the N-word. Well, that's one of the features of this new edition of Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. It will be released in February with these lines. Here's Huck referring to runaway slave Jim. Quote, "I do believe he cared just as much for his people as white folks does for theirin," unquote. Or this line, quote, "I knowed he was white inside," unquote. But without this line, Jim, quote, "had an uncommon level head for a nigger," end quote. The idea of removing the N-word from Huck Finn was a discussion yesterday that motivated hundreds of responses from you. Question, are we too far removed from the 1880s to understand the context of Twain's vernacular prose? Or to keep from being offended by the N-word in class, do students need some of the history of Twain's intent? Is that almost a separate class? Or is it only Jay-Z and 50 Cent who get to say the N-word these days? We're joined by Bob Hurst, general editor of the Mark Twain Project at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Your general reaction to all of this, and we've gotten lots of responses, and I want to share some of them with you in the course of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, frankly, I'm very impressed by how uniform the response is and how vehement it is. People don't like to have their books censored.
But address the issue of the dilemma for Laura Himmelstein, who we spoke with her earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here she tries to read that book, and it's a challenging read out loud because of all the vernacular and the dialect that's in there. It's something that Twain even refers to in his foreword to the book in the original edition.
Yeah, he's very proud of it. Yeah.
He was proud of it, and he also understood it was a real challenge. Is this book through the lens of history better for older kids than younger kids?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think Ms. Himmelstein was correct in diagnosing the problem. She should not be reading it to someone who is, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I mean, we're talking about a book that's very sophisticated in a literary way, and as you imply, it's got a burden of historical information and nuance, which it's not easy to convey.
You know, Twain loved words. Here's one of our responses on Facebook. Baruch in Brooklyn says, "A famous Clemens," Sam Clemens, of course, Mark Twain's real name, "Clemens Twain," quote, "goes, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. The new Huck looks like a lightning bug moment to me. I doubt Mr. Clemens would be pleased with it." You know, that's a great insight. But Bob Hurst, editor of the Mark Twain Project at the University of California, Berkeley, put us in the mind of Mark Twain. In one of his sentences where the N-word appears, could he have anticipated that it's that word that would be the inflammatory one 120 years into the future?
Well, I don't think he would have anticipated exactly the kind of reaction that it would get now. In fact, at the time, the word was considered vulgar rather than insulting. And as a consequence, he himself would not use it in his own voice from about 1869 on. The notion that it's offensive to black people is something that's really a very modern understanding and the result really of the work that was done in the 1960s.
However, I mean, explain possibly go into his motivations for using that word as many times. And we've said yesterday it was included 219 times in his book. Mark Twain was a famously anti-slavery person who strongly supported emancipation. And there,
that's
to
correct.
A certain extent, his use of that word so often, coupled with the fact that Jim is perhaps the most likable, moral character
noble.
In the book, he absolutely, was probably intentional, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely intentional. I don't think there's any question that it's intentional. You have to remember that, of course, he has alternatives. He could have said darky. Now, darky would not be any better today. It would still be considered condescending. But he could have, in his own day, it would have been much softer. And the fact that he never varies from nigger is a sign that he's doing this deliberately.
And darky, though, is associated, Bob, but darky is associated with the more educated classes, and it seems Twain is going for here is to try to project in the uneducated language of Huck that there is a very sophisticated moral dimension to these people, even though they're not educated, as Americans in the 1880s would understand.
I'm not sure I follow what you just said. I mean, a darky would have actually been used by anyone at the time. It would be its use would imply a more kindly attitude toward the person addressed.
Although,
if
what you're saying is that the use of the N-word implied ignorance in normal usage,
it implies loyalty to the caste in which Huck finds himself. After all, Huck is a little 12-year-old racist. I mean, he's the son of Pat Finn. So one of the difficulties here is that Mark Twain has as a hero someone who is convinced that by his own society that slavery is fine and black people are inferior. They're not even quite human. So we're not talking about someone who is educated, as you say. It's just the reverse. And his consistent use of the N-word is part of that whole picture. We're supposed to understand
right.
who he's like. He's like, if you want to understand who Huck Finn would be when he grew up, you just look at Pat Finn.
And Twain really wants, though, the ignorance of Huck not to get in the way of the humanity of Huck. I mean,
that's
really
correct.
What he's going for here. Listen to this. Here's on our website, someone from Walled Lake, Michigan, Charlie, his name is. Of all the commentary I've heard for the past several days, I've not heard anyone state that Jim was simply not a slave. He was a free man, and to change this context is not only censorship, but historically inaccurate. Charlie there is referring to this substitution. Instead of the N-word,
yes.
You use slave. What do you think of that?
Yes. Well, there are all kinds of difficulties with substituting one word for another. In this case, slave is, I mean, I think I've read lots of objections that make a lot of sense, including that one. Of course, nobody knows that Jim is free until the very end of the book. And so in that sense, it wouldn't be inaccurate for Huck to refer to him as a slave. He never does. But I think the real problem is that when you need the meaning of the N-word, it's not going to be there. When
right.
Pat Finn starts his tirade against the black professor who has those languages and actually can vote in his home state, if you don't have the N-word there, you're really not going to get the point.
Do you lose, by losing the N-word from versions of this book, the ability to understand the origins of racism in America, which is a very important lesson of all the lessons from Huck Finn?
Well, I think what it does is to blunt the power of the book. We didn't really touch on this, but I think it's clear that Mark Twain wants you to feel disturbed by this word. I mean, there's plenty of evidence that that he was not comfortable using it in his own voice, and that the society around him was gradually getting to the point where they weren't going to use it.
So he would certainly love the idea that 120 years in the future, people are still disturbed by his language. That's for sure. Bob Hurst, general editor of the Mark Twain Project at the University of California, Berkeley. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And we are still getting comments from you about this, and we still want to get them. Steve in Seattle says, one meta takeaway of your discussion is that today's society tacitly backs up the point of editing the book by substituting the N-word in discussions like yours on the radio. The heavy lifting of our national psyche, which will also signify the beginning of the end of institutional racism, will commence when we hear the word in question aloud in public on the radio and in print. When we talk about these issues, join this conversation for sure at 877-8-MY-TAKE or at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.